Fitch, our detective, just wants a good cup of coffee. And so, you can't get a good cup of coffee in Silicon Valley anymore because it has echinacea and kale in it. The place has gone mad.
That's A.B. Jewell, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. A.B. Jewell is the pseudonym for a Pulitzer Prize-winning technology reporter. The author behind the author has written numerous books, including fiction and nonfiction. But this is A.B. Jewell's debut novel. It's called The Man Who Wouldn't Die. A.B. Jewell, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be called by my pseudonym.
And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But tell us about the plot of The Man Who Wouldn't Die.
The Man Who Wouldn't Die. Okay. Sitting in his office, the last sane man in all of Silicon Valley is Detective William Fitzgerald, also known as Fitch, when in comes our femme fatale, as she might have it, and says, "You've got to help me. My father was murdered. I know it because he's tweeting from the afterlife that his death was not an accident." Already, you've careened into a Silicon Valley gone mad. Have they discovered the afterlife? Is someone murdering for it? And Fitch, our detective, just wants a good cup of coffee. And you can't get a good cup of coffee in Silicon Valley anymore because it has echinacea and kale in it. The place has gone mad.
Yeah, it sounds like a crazy world. So you've created this fictional world, but it also harkens back, you know, those classic hard-boiled detective, you know, noir novels of the past. So what inspired you to combine those two worlds?
Well, you know, the tradition, the literary foundation of Silicon Valley is on all these tough guy, talk little, punch when necessary. And they have a wry look at the greed that has always driven those of us who have gone west, and here I include myself. And I thought, you know, what more appropriate way to lens through which to see the madness of Silicon Valley than through the eyes of one of these hard-boiled detectives? And just to give you an idea of what I mean, you can't have a high-speed car chase anymore. When Fitch gets into a car chase, it's a very slow-paced car chase because the commute traffic is so bad. So it's kind of layering on the cliches and really beautiful literary moments of the past with this world gone mad in Silicon Valley.
So this is a world that you know, because as we mentioned, this is a pseudonym, that you are a writer of fiction and nonfiction under a different name.
Yes.
And you know this world very well as it exists today. So was it fun for you to just sort of extrapolate on the craziness you see today and see how that plays out in the future as you envision it?
There's only so many times that you can, with all sincerity and a grim face, write about the stock prices going up and down or the new innovation and how people are feeling about it before you crack and say, if I don't laugh, I will go insane. So this was a chance. And I think a lot of people feel this way. You know, even Dan, even in Silicon Valley, I'll tell you what people often say. Let's be clear about what this place is. There is a lot amazing about Silicon Valley. But one of the most oft-heard phrases you hear there is, hey, we have high-class problems. And if you look at the world, the bifurcation of wealth and power and influence, I mean, Silicon Valley takes itself awfully seriously, and many times for good reason, but also for a place that has a lot of good stuff going on. I mean, if you're worried about whether your kid is getting organic kale in their free play pre-kindergarten class, you know, you got a high class problem on your hands.
So did creating this pseudonym, A.B. Jewell, does that give you the freedom to write in a way that you felt you couldn't write under your actual name?
You want the real story or the made up story?
Which one is most interesting?
Well, I mean, the truth is my publisher, HarperCollins, has been so supportive of me. And they really thought of this early on because they said, this person, the real me, the me you hear talking right now, has got a pretty serious reputation for doing pretty serious stuff. And we would like to preserve that. So part of it was driven by the publisher, and they convinced me it's not that I couldn't be wry in my ordinary voice, but I suppose when you're a person who gets branded as very serious, maybe it's hard to skewer the world. I do want to say this, Dan, and I feel this for everybody in listening. All of us have different parts. Something I'm fascinated by is creativity. And we get put in these boxes by the branding world. And what's another side of you that might want for a pen name these days?
No, I understand what you're saying, that we all have layers, I guess, is one way of putting it. And for you, and I guess for your publicist, it allows a reader to approach your book without any preconceptions about who you are.
Yeah, and it might look as if I am like the real me doesn't take this stuff seriously. I think both things are true. I've written some really heavy duty investigative stuff about these worlds. But on the other hand, at one moment in this book, one of the things I've written about is distracted driving. There's an entrepreneur in the book who realizes there is a way to keep people totally focused on the road. And they've come up with something called smart drive. You want to hear how it works?
Sure.
So on the dashboard of your car is an exact replica of your surroundings outside the car. And the entrepreneur realizes if he makes a game of driving, you will pay way more attention than actual driving yourself. So you can rack up points by being a safe driver on your giant 17-inch screen in the car. And you're way safer than if you had to pay attention to the road itself. Like that's... At another point, there's a law firm where you can get a drive-through coffee and a drive-through instant patent. And the person manning the drive-through is called a barristerista, half lawyer, half barista.
So I'm wondering...
I haven't told you about the other question here. Has Silicon Valley discovered the afterlife?
Ah, yes.
Should we touch on that?
Yeah, explain how that works in the context of this book.
So there's real science here. So Fitch, our detective, he's rolling his eyes, but no hard-boiled detective can ever turn down the money. And he starts to get into this world where it appears that a bigwig of Silicon Valley is tweeting from the afterlife that he's been murdered. And his whole idea was to come up with eternal life using technology. Now, before you roll your eyes, and you still can roll your eyes with me, but people have the idea that the computational and biological will come together. And the way I interpreted this, and it's a little bit off center, but the gist of it is that what if you could capture your soul technologically and have it live forever? Before you say, well, that sounds crazy, let me give you a little bit of the science behind it. There's a test called the Turing test. Have you heard of this where it's a test to see if a computer is lifelike?
Right.
Yeah. So the way they do that is they put a human and a computer behind respective curtains, and then a human asks questions to try to determine which is the computer. Well, it turns out that one of the reasons why it's hard to tell is not because the computer is so great, but it's because humans are not all that interesting and we're fairly easy to copy. And if you look at what most of us say, it's very rote, like 97% of the time. We say the same kinds of things. We have patterns of speech. It's that last little 1 or 2% that makes us really unique and individual. So what if you could basically just capture that last little 1%? Could we live forever as a head in a computer?
So this is where the woman says, this is where my father is, that he is, what do they call it, the singularity or something?
Yes, something like this, yes.
So he is doing that. And then his friend for the police department also drops something about Steve Jobs is still directing things from beyond
yes,
the grave.
Yes, that maybe Steve Jobs is out there. And meantime, there's appears to be a cabal between Steve Jobs and Bono that keeps getting... that keeps pestering people on their cell phones. I mean, basically all the, and you know, Bono is a Silicon Valley investor. He formerly actually was known as a rocker. But now it's just all about Silicon Valley. So Steve Jobs might be out there still. Who's pulling the strings from where? It's a little bit hard to tell. And Fitch, our detective, increasingly realizes, oh my gosh, he's going to have to take this seriously, and it's still hard to get a cup of coffee.
So do you envision this character in the world you've created resulting in a series of novels?
Well, the second one has started. I'll tell you about it in a second. But even more exciting than that is a very reputable television production company has taken this into its bosom and is beginning to put it together. I haven't told you one final twist of this that I, in some ways, I'm hoping is a surprise to the reader, but may I tell you something about Fitch himself?
Sure.
And how I came up with him. So Fitch is the last sane guy in Silicon Valley, and he looks the part of the bare-knuckled, tough, talk softly, carry a big stick detective. And it's only in about the fourth or fifth chapter that you realize that he is gay and happily married to another tough guy. And this wasn't meant at all to be part of the humor. This is actually meant as a way, a kind of a just a positive statement, an expansive statement about our world. And the way I got the idea is, so I'm based for a major publication in San Francisco. And I went to my barber one day, and he was telling me about his partner who works for the ATF as a headbuster breaking up drug gangs. And I thought, you know, Silicon Valley, I know others have done bits and pieces of this, really needs an awesome gay detective. So you got that to layer in.
So we've got a new book coming in the future, perhaps a television show. So things to look forward to.
Yes.
A.B. Jewell, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Dan. That was a blast.
A.B. Jewell's debut novel is The Man Who Wouldn't Die. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes, and you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.